we can go ahead.
Ooh, that is loud. Sorry. Did that get your attention?
If we can all come back in and let's get started again, please. We're going to sing "The Battle Belongs to the Lord."
Speaker this morning is Meredith Brewer. If you need a courageous friend, Meredith is your person. If you need somebody to tell you exactly what you don't want to hear, ask Meredith and she'll tell you. She's a plain speaker, so I expect her information for us today to be something we can put in our hip pocket and take home with us. Meredith is married to Randy Brewer. She has two daughters and two grandchildren, and she teaches ladies' Bible classes and children's Bible classes here at Central. I told her I was going to introduce her as this hair is Martha, and she said I couldn't, but I did anyway.
Just come to Ladies' Day, you find out all kinds of stuff you didn't know about yourself. But that's... Yes, I hear it now. Okay. Well, welcome to all of you. Because of your presence, our Ladies' Day is a success.
Amen.
You're just as important, no matter where you came from or whether you're a member at Central or whatever. We encourage one another by being together. So today, we're going to talk about the whole armor of God. I put these on the ends, so if you don't have one, make sure you get one. I think I put enough on each end. If you don't have one, raise your hand and Mary's going to make sure you have one. Okay, awesome. Where did she go? Oh, there she is. Okay. All right. Let me get my notes the way they're supposed to be. And I have such a cool story to tell you later. Our scripture base is Ephesians 6, 10 through 17. I don't want to take up too much time reading everything, but we are going to read this one. If we need to cut some time with me, then I would encourage you just to write down the scripture. I will tell you the gist of it, and then you can go back later and read the whole passage. You're very familiar with this particular passage, but I'm going to read it so that we can get it fresh on our minds. So, Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 17. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now, I'm on a timetable here, but there are six parts to the armor. Which part would I leave out? None of those. So if I go a little bit longer, it'll be okay. Because this is what God wants us to hear today. We can't leave out any of this. All right, so on your picture that I've given you, it's an image of a Roman soldier in his armor. And I want to expand that to make it more specific to a feminine perspective. Because we as women look at things a little differently, we feel differently about things, and it's helpful when you can really apply it to you as an individual. And I hope for us to get real and practical. So evidently I already have that reputation, so I'm fulfilling it today. Because of this scripture, we know that God has provided us with the tools we need in our spiritual battles. He has not left us defenseless. The key phrases in this passage, God's power, strong in the Lord, and whole armor. It takes a physically strong person to wear battle armor. It's heavy, but it's necessary for the protection of all areas of the body. In the spiritual realm, Satan is wandering around looking for ways to get us. But when we are wearing the whole armor, all of it, every piece, our vulnerabilities aren't so easy for him to attack. So that puts us in a more offensive situation instead of defensive. And the purpose of the armor is to be able to stand firm. And as Louise pointed out, we must finish. We don't have to win the prize. We don't have to be number one. But we must finish our race so that we can go to heaven. All right, so let's begin with the belt of truth. Now, the King James always said, gird up your loins. And I always thought, well, I sort of know what loins are, but how do you gird them up? You know, that might be a little interesting. But I did read about it, and, you know, they wore robes, or long, flowy robes. And so the gird up meant you pick up your robe, you tuck it into your belt, and I guess those were kind of the first shorts that were ever made. And then you can run, and you can be stronger, and you don't have to worry about something pulling on your legs and slowing you down. So the belt of truth. What is this truth? God is our Father. He loves us. He loves you. He loves me. He wants the very best for each of us. His laws and guidance are there for every aspect of our lives. When we have the truth on our side, and you can probably think of situations in your life where maybe someone was questioning whether you were being honest or not. I remember a chaperone on a band trip accusing me and my roommates of being out of our room. Well, I didn't do stuff like that. And I definitely didn't like anybody accusing me of doing something like that. And so I went toe-to-toe with her and said, we were not out of our room. And so when you have truth on your side, you can be a little stronger standing in your shoes. We become strong, courageous, greeting each new day with a firm resolve to stand firm in God's power. Now just think about that for a minute. God's power. In the picture that I've given you, you can see the strips that are attached to the belt in the front. These were usually made of leather and had weights at the ends. These covered the abdominal area for protection. So as women, if we wore this protection, it would include our reproductive organs, our colon, any other organ that happens to be in there. Louise could tell you, I cannot. So how do we have this protection in the spiritual sense? We can dress modestly. That's going to protect us. We can maintain our purity and innocence to be shared with a husband, as it's told in Song of Solomon. And of course, that's more for the younger women in our audience. We can remain faithful to our husbands. Letting your actions speak your choice for protection based on God's truth as he has revealed it to us in his word. And that's John 8, 31 and 32. And the last one, take care of yourself. Go have those annual checkups. Go have those annual physicals. Go have those annual mammograms. This is for the older women. But when you reach that point in your life, utilize that protection. Because when we are ailing physically, it affects us spiritually. And it affects the people around us. So utilize the protection that we have. Okay, number two, the breastplate of righteousness. And this is simply doing the right things. Just doing the right thing. If you make a decision early in your life that you're just going to do the right thing, and I know sometimes that gets a little cloudy and it can be a little gray at times, but if you make the decision ahead of time, I'm just going to do the right thing, God will be there to assist you doing the right thing. So the breastplate was made of metal plates that were connected to make the movement easier. It protected the heart, of course, number one, the heart. And from the heart comes love, one of the fruits of the Spirit. So let's look at Colossians 3, 22 and 23. What did I say? Colossians 22 and 23? Colossians 3, there's not that many chapters in Colossians. Colossians 3, 22 and 23. Bondservants, do all things your master in, do obey all things your, let me start again. Bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. I think sometimes in our walk, we forget that the way we're choosing to live, the way we're choosing to spend our time, everything that we do is a reflection to God of the way we feel about him and his promises. Let's go to Proverbs 17, 22. This is one of my favorite verses. Proverbs 17, 22. A merry heart does good, like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. So what kind of person are you? Do people see a merry heart, or do they see a black hole of the universe that goes and tries to suck everybody else in? Are you the kind of person that when you come in a room, people say, hey, or people kind of walk the other way? Merry heart. Have a merry heart. We have every reason in the world as Christians and daughters of God to have a merry heart. When we love someone or something, what is our response? When we love God, we want to be obedient to His expectations of us. When we love our parents, we want to honor and respect them. When we love our husbands, we want to live so that our lives are enjoyable. When we love our children, we raise them in the admonition of the Lord. When we love the non-Christian, we show them the truth about Jesus, sometimes just by how we act, what we say, how we look, our countenance. When we love the Bible, we want to know what it says, so we read it. When we love worship, we come to worship. When we love our personal relationship with God, we spend time with Him in prayer. When we love our sisters in Christ, we build each other up. I'm being built up today, aren't you? It's great to be here. When we love our fellow man, we let our light shine so that they see Christ living in us. When we love ourselves, we trust ourselves, we treat ourselves like God wants. So let's look at 1 Corinthians 9:24-27. 1 Corinthians 9:24-27. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. Not your child, not your husband, not your friend, not your neighbor. You run your race so that you make sure that you receive the prize. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty, not with, I hope I'm going to heaven. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Extremely important. Temperate in all things. Be temperate. Do you have little things in your life that you're not temperate in? I do. Have self-discipline. I think that's probably one of the greatest challenges for people is to discipline themselves. Or that's one for me anyway, with who I am. I don't think Louise has a problem with self-discipline. Do you? See, she works at it all the time. That's why you're so good at it. All right. Are you taking care of your heart in the spiritual and physical sense? Getting enough rest and sleep. I'm not talking to you young mothers. It hasn't come to you yet. But it will. But it will. I promise. Healthy eating. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit more in just a second for myself. Exercise of some form. But do you take time for some recreation, for some entertainment, for some time for yourself, instead of seeing to the fun and the needs of everybody else and taking care of our material blessings? I would venture to say that every person in here, God has blessed you beyond anything that you could ever think about. So what do we do with our blessings? Do we take care of them? And if you want to know what I mean by that, then ask me after class, okay? Because it's real specific, but I'm not going to go into that too much. All right, so just remember, a merry heart does good like medicine. All right, number three, feet shod with preparation of the gospel of peace. They wore sandals, of course. I did read that they would put nails in the bottom of them, you know, the little studs, not where the nails were in their feet, but just, you know, they just had little studs on the bottom of their sandals, and that helped them to stand firm better. It kept them from slipping. We need to do that too. We want to be prepared to share the gospel wherever and whenever the opportunity presents itself. And that's like Kristen was talking about. You know, kind of go through what you would say if you were given the opportunity. How would you respond to someone? Kind of give that a little bit of thought. And then, once you're prepared, I bet the opportunity will present itself. I couldn't help but think of the song, Be Careful Little Feet, Where You Go. Y'all remember that song? Be careful little feet, where you go? There's Father up above and he's looking down in love, so be careful little feet, where you go? Pretty simple. You know, a lot of our children's songs are just so simple. And then the older we get, the more complicated we make things. So let's do a little bit of a stretch here in terms of the feminine side. If you know that certain things are too tempting for you, don't go there. Like to my kitchen before I go to bed at night. You know, there's air that just wafts into me that says, oh, there's M&Ms in the drawer, and oh, there's peanut butter crackers, and oh, there's chips, and oh, there's cookies. Now, if I don't get up off the couch and walk into the kitchen, guess what? I won't eat them. And that is a huge temptation for me. Sugar is a huge temptation for me. So I try to really bring it down to where I live and say to myself, okay, your feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So how can you translate that into your own actions in daily living? And I know it's a stretch, but I think it's okay for us as women. For some of you, it's shopping, so don't go. My uncle told my aunt one time, she said, oh, but all this was on sale. And he said, it's not a bargain if you don't need it. And we're so tempted, you know, because it makes us feel good. It secretes endorphins in our brain. And for you, more than others, that's not my issue. The other is. You may love shoes. I love shoes. Clothes. Plants. Brenda. Where's Brenda? Plants. You know, everybody has their own little thing. And you know what yours is. And you can keep that personally for yourself. But if you find yourself in a situation, let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. If you find yourself in a situation, and I am really bearing my soul here, let me tell you. No temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man. I'm sure y'all have issues like I do. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. In other words, Meredith, you can resist getting up and going to the kitchen and eating that stuff. If you want to, that's the key. But with the temptation, we'll also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Now, I know that that is probably not what that verse is talking to, but that's what that verse says to me. And maybe you can bring it to a personal situation in your own life. And maybe that verse can help you with whatever you've got going on. All right, number four, the shield of faith. The shields were made of wood. And somebody talked about fiery darts. Either Louise or Kristen One talked about fiery darts. And, of course, they shot off fiery darts because they wanted the wood of the shields to catch on fire. Because if they could get rid of the shields, how much more vulnerable were they in battle? And if you've seen movies like Robin Hood with Russell Crowe, or Braveheart, or 300, you've seen the shields and you've seen the archers who their job was to shoot the arrows, and they would shoot thousands all at one time, hoping to get as many as they could. So with our faith, we can quench the fiery darts of Satan. And I want us to pay attention to the word quench. We don't just avoid them. We put them out. That's what quench means. You can put them out. And that is so comforting to know that if Satan shoots a dart at me, I have God's power with me to the point that I can go and blow it out. Okay? You too. The shield was movable, so it goes wherever it needs to. You know, they held it up in their hand all different directions. So when he's trying to get us from the sides or from overhead or down here, we've got the shield of faith, and we can go and knock that dart. Visualize it in your head. All right, so how do we get faith? Romans 10:17, we get it through hearing the word of God. And in Hebrews 11, faith is the substance of things not seen. Our faith, our 100% complete trust in God, keeps us on the path. Our faith determines how we spend our time, and our faith governs our decisions. All right, number five, the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation was made, the helmet was made of metal, protected the head, the ears, the eyes, the neck, and you can see that in the picture. It had a flap that came down in the back to protect the neck. Our helmet of salvation delivers us from the loss of our souls. When we enter into a covenant relationship with God through obedience to the Bible instructions, we are given salvation through the blood of Jesus. The helmet also protects our minds, helping us to create a positive attitude that whatever comes our way, God will be there to hold us up and take us through it. That's the value of growing older. That's the value of experience. That's the value of pain. You can look back and see. Because sometimes when you're right in the middle of it, you can't see anything but the confusion you're in. But when you can look back, you can see how God worked in your life. Even though there are times that you thought, are you still up there? Do you see what's happening? But you can look back and know, absolutely know, that he was there the whole time. All right, Psalms 37:1-8 talks about fretting. It says, do not fret. So to fret means you're upset, you're distressed, you feel unhappy over things. Things, most of the time, that we have no control over, like the weather, like whether our husband remembered our anniversary or not, what others say or think about us. That's a biggie for women, but we can't control that. But we do fret over it sometimes. The second one is fear. And God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love. So don't let fear overcome your talents. This room is full of talent. Women who can do so many things. Lots of variety here. And that's what makes things so successful, when each person uses their talents. So as the little children's song says, don't hide your light under a bushel. Basket. All right. Now, this one I wanted to spend a little bit more time on, because this one kind of is on comparing. She's prettier. She's smarter. She has more money. She has a better car, bigger house. She gets to take her family to vacations at Disney. And we're bombarded with the comparison game constantly. If you don't believe it, just stand in line at the grocery store. They got all those supposedly beautiful people lined up on the front of the magazines. Nah. We're not even going to go there. You come to a point as you get older that stuff isn't as important as it used to be. Those kinds of things aren't as important as it used to be. When we compare ourselves to others, we are comparing their strengths to our weaknesses. And if you were to compare your strengths to that of them, those would probably be weaknesses for them. So be who you are. You're unique. God made you to be who He wants you to be. So I have a little example, and I know I'm going to run over, and I'm very sorry, but I'm going to get through this real quick. I had a good friend that I grew up with in church. And when we went to college, we decided we'd room together. She had told me a situation when we were in high school about when she got in from her date the night before, when she took the contacts out, she screwed the lid down on one of the contacts because she hadn't gotten it all the way in the case. So I thought, oh, okay, man, you must have really been tired. Well, come to find out, after beginning to live with her, she liked to walk on the wild side a little bit. And that was okay. We did not continue to be roommates. You know, sometimes you start off with one person, but you need to end up with other people. So I lost touch with her. We both married, and we both had children. But one time, she visited worship here. And I never will forget, I can still see how she looked to this day. Her hair was perfect. Her makeup was perfect. She was skinny, so that was perfect. She had on a beautiful, beautiful peach-colored suit. Did it make an impression with me? But then her feet, oh my goodness, she had on the prettiest shoes I'd ever seen. They were gorgeous. And here I stood in my frumpy little clothes that I had made at home, because I was not working a job outside of my home. And I had kind of pieced some things together, and I looked nice. But man, compared to her, I just thought, wow. She had plenty of money. Her husband, they had a great life. They got to travel, and, you know, two beautiful little girls. All of those things. It wasn't too long after that I found out that she had cancer. And it was kidney. And before too long, it had metastasized to her brain. And she went all over the country looking for treatment to be cured of that, and believed that God was going to cure her. She died in her 40s. She didn't get to see her little girls become grown women. She didn't get to see any grandchildren. But who did? I did. And I've looked back at that, and when I heard about her diagnosis, I thought, there, but for the grace of God, go I. That could have been me that happened to. But it wasn't. So God reminded me at that point, what matters most in your life? It's not the house you live in. It's not the shoes you wear. But if you like pretty shoes, it's okay. I love pretty shoes. Don't have any on today, but I love pretty shoes. So take heart when you're feeling kind of, you know, a little downtrodden. And I know we all do. Take heart and know that you're living the life that God wants you to live, because there's more comfort in that than anything you'll ever find. All right. So the last one, sword of the Spirit, and that is the Word of God. God provided us the Bible for us to read, study, live by, to guide our footsteps, our hearts, and our minds. But in order for that to happen, we gotta know what it says. And we've already touched on this too. We gotta know what it says. We did not collaborate. So, where did the thoughts come from? We can't depend on others to tell us, although that's part of what we do. We must find out for ourselves. And Kristen's already given you one of the scriptures that I was going to use. Now I have to go back, and I'm sorry, but I cannot leave this out. This morning, when I was getting ready, and I was kind of going through my mind with everything, I remembered that I had intended to put Philippians 4, verse 8, in on the positive attitude part. And I had not done that. And so I thought, well, I need to go in there and write that in. Still forgot it, but still, I wrote it down. So I got there, and that's under the helmet of salvation. And I got there, and I was going through my papers, and I thought, where's number five? Where's number five? Where's the helmet of salvation? It's not on here. Where is it? I know I wrote it last night. Where is it? I had left it in the notebook that I had copied everything in. I had torn out every other page but that one. I would have been distressed if I had left that particular page at home. Do you think that was a God thing? Do you think it was the Holy Spirit reminding me, just looking through those, that I was going to use that particular scripture and on that particular page, except that page wasn't ready to come with me today? That just, I had goosebumps. Because, and I just thought, thank you, God, for showing me that I didn't even have all my stuff. Because if I had not wanted to add that, it wouldn't have been in there. All right, so now, back to the sword of the Spirit. Find out for yourself. All right, now I'm going to finish. And I want you to take that sheet, the picture of the soldier that I gave you. In my profession, I've heard many, many, many successful women speak. One thread permeates through all of those that I have heard. Goals matter, visuals matter, and words matter. So that's what I've given you. I want you to take the picture of the soldier. And when you go home, I want you to take a picture of yourself, just your head, and I want you to put it on his face. And at the bottom of the sheet, this is what I want you to write. I wear my whole armor of God every day. say that out loud every morning. Put your picture on your mirror, in your closet, on your coffee pot, on your refrigerator, wherever you'll see it first thing in the morning. Put it on your ceiling if you want to. But look at that picture. You have to have your face on the soldier or it won't work. That's his armor, not yours. Put your face on top of his face and say those words every day out loud and see what happens. Blessings to all of you.